okay, I need a volunteer. And I know last time I did this, everyone was really scared and no one was willing to do it. But I have this bin. It's intentionally not clear. So if you're listening to this in the future, it's one of those black Costco bins with the yellow top. There is something in here that we're going to pull out together. And so I need a volunteer. No, nothing's too crazy. Don't worry. People will probably laugh. So who wants to be the volunteer? Who wants to be the brave person the Holy Spirit is speaking to right now? Just like Anna responded to lead a Bible study, we need a volunteer. They come up here. All right, Reggie, our little guy. Come on up, dude. He's going to have so much fun with this. Okay, Reggie. So there is going to be something fun in here. We're going to need you to wrestle, okay? And it's going to be super fun. You're going to be like, that was the best day of my Sunday. All right. So come right over here, Reggie, and you can stand right here. We're going to open up this bin, and I want you to pull out what's inside, and you can tell everyone what it is. What is it? What do you see? Is that a big penguin? This penguin's name is Pinguino.
It's not Pinguino.
He's like, whoa.
He's scared of it.
So, you want to ask for some help with some friends? All right, friends, come over here. And I want you guys to wrestle Pinguino. All right, there you go. Reggie goes. He's wrestling him a little bit. Yeah, you got him in. Bucket. Okay. All right. All of you want to wrestle too? Wrestle Pinguino? No? Okay. He's smiling at you though. He likes you. All right. One more wrestle. Give him a wrestle. Oh, poof. Got him back in. All right. You are a winner.
Good job, Reggie.
Woo-hoo. Good job, Reggie. Good job. High fives. You're like, oh, almost. Maybe one day. Hey, thanks for being our brave volunteer. Do you want to take him back to your seat? You want to play with him more?
Yeah.
He's like, okay.
Reggie, here's your prize.
Oh, all right, goldfish wow. Prize.
Here, Reggie, here. You set down the penguin, then you can have the goldfish.
You're going to be asking, what does that giant penguin have to do with anything for us gathering today to study the Word of God? Well, when our little friends here, when they wrestled that penguin, how much did that penguin fight back? None, right? It just kind of stood there or like waddled there, whatever it was doing. And as you all of you who listen to this in the future, you can imagine what this penguin looks like. It's wearing a Christmas hat with a scarf. It's pretty big, big as maybe a two-year-old or so. And obviously the penguin didn't fight back. And if you, as a full-grown adult, wrestled this penguin, you would most likely win, right? You would win. So the idea of this penguin, it can't wrestle back against you. And the idea is that when you're in Jesus and you believe in him, you are alive in Jesus and you're dead to sin. So just as much as this penguin fought back against all the little kids wrestling it, that's what sin is in your life. It's dead. You've actually died to sin where it's lost its power over you. And Jesus is alive in you. So you're no longer a slave to sin. Sin no longer owns your life. It no longer demands what you do with your life because you died to it. And so if this penguin can't fight back, that's how sin is in you because it's been crucified and Jesus lives in you. So you can live to do what is right in the eyes of God. So let's open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. If you need a paper Bible, we can grab those for you if you want to borrow them. If you brought your own, awesome. So Romans chapter 5, and if you're not sure what Romans is, at the beginning of your Bible, there is a table of contents, and you can look there, and it says where Romans will start, and the big numbers are chapters, the little numbers are verses. So Romans chapter 5, the big number, and we'll start in verse 20 for the verse, the small number, so 5:20, and then read through Romans 6:4. So you'll notice you'll cross over a chapter there. So Romans 5:20 through 6:4. And as you read the word, you can ask yourself a couple questions. You can say, what is God doing here? What am I learning about God or Jesus or his plan for church or for people? And then ask, what did I learn about humanity? What did I learn about people in this? So what am I seeing about God and what am I seeing about people? To give you some context for this passage, how many of you ever had someone make a decision on your behalf or made a decision that affected your life and you're like, that was horrible? Anyone? A bunch of hands went up. Well, what happened right before this is exactly what happened to you. someone made a decision on your behalf that has completely ruined your life. In the beginning, God created Adam, and Adam had one command: don't eat from the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And guess what that guy did? He ate from it. And the moment he did, what is called sin entered him in all of the human race. So because he was the first human and he made that decision, it affected every single human to come through him, through his seed. So when this happened, he got what was called a sinful nature. And guess what you have living inside of you? Sinful nature. Now, how many of you had these wars inside yourself where you have this desire to sin, but you don't want to do it? Anyone have that? That's the sinful nature inside of you that we inherited from Adam. And so that was just something that someone made a decision for us, and unfortunately, we get the repercussions of all that. The worst part about it is the result is death. How many of you are over 30 and you're feeling it in your body? How many of you are under 30 and you're feeling it in your body? Come on, right? So that's because our bodies over time will decay and eventually they'll die. God originally created Adam physically to live forever, but when sin entered his body, it actually produced physical death. And moreover than physical death, it produced spiritual death. So if people who don't know Jesus around us, they're actually spiritually dead because of what Adam did, and they're not spiritually alive until they meet Jesus. So one person, Adam, disobeyed and caused all of us to become sinners apart from Jesus. But here's the good news. To start off, really horrible news that someone made a decision on your behalf that ruined your life. Someone made a decision on your behalf that actually has the power to change and transform your life forever. One person, Jesus, obeyed the Father and caused all who believe in him to have right standing with God. So your biggest problem is sin. It's separation from God, and it's your physical and spiritual death. But Jesus' obedience to the Father gives you the ability to have right standing with God and spiritual and ultimately physical eternal life with Jesus. So look in the word here, Romans 5, 20 and 21. It says, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you see the first part that says God's law, what this is talking about is the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. So these are the books that they also say like the law of Moses. And what happens with this is it reveals that we can't do it. It reveals the standard that God had for all of humanity. And what that law revealed is the depth of our sin, that we actually can't meet God's standard and that we fall short of God's standard. Because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory or God's standard. So we can never reach God's standard. How many of y'all ever changed oil or had blood and you used a rag to clean up the oil or blood before? Yeah, and you know you really can't get the oil or the blood out of that rag. It's almost impossible. In the same way, our good works before God are like that dirty rag. Anything that we try and do on our own will never measure up to God's best, God's standard. We always fall short. But the person who can clean up our rags is Jesus. So ironically, it's his blood that cleans those rags and makes them as white as snow. So his blood can actually clean us and purify us to the point where we're transformed. So Jesus, whenever we have bad news, always think of this in caps in your mind, but Jesus. Jesus can transform anything in your life if you're willing to go to him and seek his face. And so grace beats your sin and everybody's sin. So you can see it said the more and more sin that abounded, that got higher and higher and higher, God's grace always surpassed the level of that sin. So no matter how much sin you have in your life, once you realize it, man, God's grace will overtake the sin you have in your life. So grace is simply this. It's getting something that we don't deserve. Grace is simply getting something we don't deserve. So think about at Christmas or your birthday, you get a gift. It's freely given to you. You didn't buy it from the person. You didn't earn it from the person. They're just giving it to you of their own free and goodwill because Christmas or your birthday. In the same way, God gives you a gift called grace of his own free will that you didn't earn, that you couldn't earn, that he freely gives to you. And your role is simply to receive it. When you receive God's grace, he gives the ability to help you where you need help. So God's grace extends to every single area of your life. And I know we're all humans. I know we all got problems. We got personal problems. We got relationship problems. We got work problems. And when we say, Jesus, I need your grace, give me your grace. And when you come into a position where when we stop trying to control the situation and we say, Jesus, I surrender and give you, I ask that you give me grace. You give me what I don't deserve to help resolve the situation. He'll respond every time for you. So this grace comes through Jesus's obedience to the Father, living a life without sin, doing, he met every requirement of the law that we could never meet. His willingness to die on the cross for our sins and the sins of all who believe in him, and through his resurrection, he conquered death. So this is huge. This gives you right standing with God. So this is the God of the universe that you can go to through Jesus, and you have right standing with God, and it gives you eternal life. Because here's the deal. When Adam sinned on your behalf, it actually separated you from God, not only here in the temporal, but also in the eternal. Because at the end of time, the scriptures talk about a judgment. There's going to be two lines, the sheep and the goats. And they're all going to go towards judgment. And there's this big book at the end of the line. It's called the Book of Life. And whoever's name is written in the Book of Life has eternal life through Jesus and spends eternity with him in the new heaven, new earth. And whoever's name is not written in the Book of Life is actually separated from God for eternity in what the Bible says is called a lake of fire, where Satan and all of his demons and those who don't believe in Jesus will be placed in for all eternity. And so Jesus gives us eternal life. He gives us right standing with God. And it's simply by believing in him, asking to forgive you, believing he rose from the dead, and receiving that grace. And this is huge. And if you're like, oh, I've heard that before, I know about this, that idea that of Jesus in that way is never ending. And so when you ask Jesus, give me greater revelation, give me greater understanding of what this is, it'll permeate your heart, and it'll permeate you in such a way that you actually can't not tell people about it. That as you go, you will want to tell them, because everybody you see that doesn't know Jesus, they are literally going to hell. They are literally going to be separated from God for eternity. And could you imagine if you were in the line where your name was not written in the book? Like, wouldn't you want someone in the other line to take the time in your life to tell you about Jesus and give them the choice to believe in Jesus or not? It's so huge. So jump back into the word here, in chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. It says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more grace? Of course not. Since we've died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? So here's a crazy question. Should you intentionally do wrong even if you can get away with it? Should you intentionally do wrong even if you can get away with it? And how you answer that question will reveal how much Jesus has changed your heart. Because when he gets in your heart, you don't want to intentionally sin anymore, because that no longer has power over you. You're going to actually have a desire to do what is right in the eyes of God. So this is what integrity is. It's doing the right thing even when no one is looking. This is what I teach my daughter, she's 7. I said, it's better to tell the truth and get in big trouble than to lie and get away with it. Because in the end, that builds our character, that builds our integrity, and God will always honor a decision that honors him. He'll always send the honor your way. So if we're in Jesus, we've died to sin. This means that you don't have to intentionally sin anymore, and we don't have that desire to want to intentionally sin anymore, because Jesus has so transformed our heart. So sin no longer has power over you. Sin no longer has power over you. How many of you, this is another weird question for you, but these are just points to these questions. How many of you have ever wrestled a dead person? There's some faces like, what are you talking about, dude? I don't go to graves and dig them up at night. But if you wrestled a dead person, how much would that dead person fight back against you, right? That was the whole point of the penguin. I'm getting here with this. The penguin, if you wrestled the penguin, these kids wrestled the penguin, it just kind of looked at them, right? And got tossed around, thrown in the bin. In the same way, that's sin to you. Sin is dead, and so you're wrestling a dead person. This is one of the things for me in my faith journey that changed and revolutionized how I understood my relationship with Jesus, when I realized, oh, sin doesn't have power over me anymore. I can actually choose to do what's right in God's eyes, it changed everything. Because I was believing a lie. I believed that, oh, I had to fight sin and overcome it. I had to defeat it. But when I learned, oh, Jesus defeated sin for me, I simply had to believe the truth of what God's word says. It changed me from the inside. And it gave me the ability to be free and do what is right with Jesus. So if sin in you is dead, then it cannot overcome you. If sin in you is dead, it cannot overcome you. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. This is the power of baptism. Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. So hear this out. This is super important for your faith if you've been baptized or haven't been baptized. When you are baptized, you are put under the water, and then you come out of the water. So when you're baptized, being put under the water, you're identifying with Jesus's death and death to sin. And when you come out of the water, you're identifying with his resurrection and his resurrection power that fills you. So when you're baptized, you actually receive a spiritual transaction that you can't receive any other way. So when you're baptized, you are identified with Jesus in his death, is death to sin, and you receive a spiritual transaction inside of you. And when you are raised out of the water, you receive a spiritual transaction of Jesus's resurrection life living in you. Now this is huge. And Jesus commands us to be baptized because in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the first thing it says, make disciples of all nations. So the first thing you gotta do is tell people about Jesus and believe. And the next thing it says is get baptized. And then learn how to obey him. So your baptism with Jesus actually marks you in the spiritual realm. Did y'all ever play capture the flag in the dark growing up? Anyone ever do that, or at least imagine it, right? And sometimes the glow stick was the flag. And if you get the glow stick and the rules, you can't put it in your pocket, you have to hold it in your hand when you run back to your side, guess what happens? Everybody beeline towards you, just comes at you, right? In the same way, when you're baptized by Jesus, you know, in the water, you are like holding a glow stick spiritually. You are marked by Jesus in the spirit. Jesus sees it and Satan sees it. And so if you have the glow stick, and think of it as more of a repellent in this case, or actually think about it like this. It repels Satan from your life in certain ways, and it actually draws God's grace to your life in certain ways. So when you've been baptized, you're marked with a glow stick in the spirit. And Jesus sees it, and Satan sees it. So if you don't have the glow stick, in a way you are missing what God wants to place inside of your spirit and your soul and your body through baptism, that otherwise you won't be able to receive unless you're baptized. And this is why it's so important that when you lead people to Jesus, that you tell them the importance of baptism, because it's going to do something in them and in their life that otherwise can't be done. So the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, if you believe in him. So think about what it would take to raise someone from the dead. Can you think about the amount of power it would take to like restart or kickstart their entire being? We got a nurse over here, like, right? So even just from a physiological standpoint of shocking someone back to life, like think about if they're dead for 3 days. Like how much power, how much juice is it gonna take to kickstart that person's body and to get their soul activated again, their spirit back in their body? That's what the Father did through the Holy Spirit with Jesus. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The same Spirit from the dead that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. And so the more that you have that revelation, understanding that the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, you have the same resurrection power. Do you realize how unstoppable you are? The more that you can get out of the way and you can allow Jesus to live through you, through his resurrection power and the Holy Spirit, you're unstoppable, and he can transform you and the world around you. So this means you're a new person, that the old you is dead, and Jesus has raised up a new person. So think about your life before Jesus, who you were, what was going on in your life, and the things that, you know, had mastery over you. That person's dead. The old is dead, and you are new in Jesus. So here's what it's about. You're free to live for Jesus. You no longer have sin that bondages your life. You're no longer in chains spiritually because Jesus has set you free. So you have the freedom to live rightly in obedience to Jesus in his word and his will for your life. Because God has a will for your life he wants you to step into. A lot of people will choose to do what they think is best. They won't take time to really pray. Like, I'm talking about, like, get on your knees. And I was talking to someone in our church recently, and I was just challenging them to get in their secret place with God. And they got on their knees, and they got on their face before God for like an hour. That's what we're talking about, is how do we go countercultural from, you know, the world, but even most of religion and churches, right? How do we get in our secret place, on our face, in his presence for like an hour? We have the time. We have time for what's important to us. We will make it happen. And so when you get on your face before Jesus like that, he's going to show you what he wants to do. If you're like, I don't know how to do this, or I have this door that won't open, just get in his presence. Because if you can seek his presence and desire his presence more than the vision you have for your life, or more than the vision God has given you, he will cause everything to fall into place. So his presence is key. Get on your face before him. So this is all about identity, who God says you are. So God says this over you. You believe in Jesus. You are dead to sin, and you are alive in Christ. So sin no longer has power over you, but Jesus, his resurrection life, he lives in you and he lives through you. And he says of himself, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the more you allow the word of God like this to get inside of you, the more it'll transform you, and he'll live in and through you. So we have something cool here I'm gonna hand out for our activation time. And if I get a volunteer to help pass these out, that'd be super awesome. This one, you know what you're getting into if you're volunteering. Awesome, thanks, Laura. Laura, if you can pass one of these out, there's just a piece of paper in there for everyone. It's just a list of verses, and it says who I am in Christ. And it lists off all these different verses from the New Testament mainly that talk about who Jesus says you are. I want you to take a few minutes to read through these, and you can either yours to keep. And if you want to take multiple, you can take multiple. I printed off a bunch of them so people can have extras. You can mark this thing up. As you go through, when you read it, if you have a pen, mark which one you're like, yeah, I feel like I know that one deeply at this point. You feel like you identify with it. Yes. Or if you read through and you see one and you're like, I don't really connect with this. This one isn't really in my heart yet. Mark that one too. Because that'll be the Holy Spirit revealing to you where he's done work in your heart to reveal to you who you are in him. And you have that deeper understanding, that revelation of your identity in Jesus. And then the other ones will show you that maybe he wants you to grow in over time. So you got verses here about being accepted, about being secure, and about being significant. And we'll throw these up online too on our website. In an attachment is a PDF under our messages section where you can access these messages in the future. So let's take about, you know, 3 or so minutes to read through those and see which ones are connecting with your heart. And you feel like, yeah, I feel like I connect with this, or one like, man, I really need to grow in this area. And as you're reading through these, think about, man, how do I want to apply this to my life this week? What I learned from the word or the message that spoke to me, how the Holy Spirit was working. How do I want to apply this to my life? What goal do you want to set this week, your spiritual goal with Jesus? And write that down. And write down in your notebook, you put it in your phone, somewhere where you'll remember it. How do you want to apply it? So for some people, you might stick this on your mirror in the morning where you get ready, you know, with some blue tape, and you literally just read these and declare these out loud over yourself. And you say, I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I've been justified. And you can just go down through there or like say, hey, the first, there's 3 sections here. So first section, boom, that's Monday. Second section is Wednesday. Third section is Friday. Or you do everything every day. Remember, words have power. Proverbs say that your tongue, your words, have the power of life and the power of death. So if you're speaking life over yourself, over your kids, you can read these over your kids, you can read them over your family, you can declare them over your family. And it's powerful because the scriptures have the power to transform lives. Because remember, the scriptures are alive and active. And if Jesus is the word, the living word, he's also the written word, bring it to life. So take a moment to think about, how do you want to apply this to your life this week? How do you want to get this in your heart, your identity of who God says you are? So if you're here this morning and you're hearing this message about the bad news of Adam making a sin on your or decision on your behalf, because it gives you a sinful nature, separates you from God, and you want this relationship with God through Jesus. If this is you today and you're like, man, I want to be forgiven of my sins, I want to have a relationship with God, I want to have eternal life, and I want God's best for my life, I want to surrender my life and give my heart to Jesus. If you want to do that today for the first time, we should invite you to raise your hand if that's you, and we'll pray with you and help you step into that relationship with Jesus for the first time. Or if you're here today and you're like, I haven't been baptized yet, but I'm seeing the importance of Scripture, like why I need to get baptized for what God wants to do in me, talk to me or Meredith or any of us with the green name tags on after service. We'd love to get you baptized here at Enriched Church as part of your discipleship process. And if you're here and you're like, man, I'm a Christian, but I feel like there's a bondage in my life of sin, of something that I got going on I can't break, come up afterwards. The sign over here says get prayer here. We'll have men available to pray with men if you want prayer, or if you're a female, we'll have some women available to pray with you, and Jesus can set you free, and he will set you free. The last thing is, we have extra printouts, so if you want to take those home, you just got to come up and face the penguin. They're in front of the penguin. Don't worry, he won't beat you in the wrestling match. You can just open up the folder, take as many as you want, or if you're like, hey, can I get the PDF copy? Just shoot me a text or send us an email, and we'll get you that. So I want to invite y'all, as we close, let's pray. So I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm just going to declare a blessing over you for your week. I'm going to do something a little different. I'm just going to declare Scripture over you. And I just want you to receive from Jesus his written word in your heart for yourself, or if you have kids and you just want to receive this over your kids too. And remember prayer is outside of time. If you want to have kids in the future, you receive these words for your family. So I declare this over you, that you are God's child, that you are Jesus's friend, that you've been justified. It's just as if you've never sinned. Jesus has washed it away. I declare that you are united with Jesus and one with him in spirit. I declare that you've been bought with a price, Jesus himself, and that you belong to God. I declare that you are part of Jesus's body, important, making up the church. I declare that you are not a sinner in Jesus, you are actually a saint. I declare that you've been adopted as God's son or God's daughter. I declare that you have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. You've been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins through Jesus. I declare that you are complete in Christ. He makes you complete in every area. He makes you whole. I declare that you are free from condemnation. I declare that you are assured that all things work together for your good, because you love Jesus and you're called according to his purposes. I declare that you are free from any condemning charges against you. I declare that nothing can separate you from the love of God. You've been established, anointed, and sealed by God. You are hidden with Jesus in God. I declare that you can be confident that the good work that God has started in you, he will bring it to completion. I declare that you are a citizen of heaven. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind or self-discipline. That at any time you can find grace and mercy in your time of need. I declare that you are born of God, and the evil one cannot touch you. He cannot remove your salvation. Jesus holds it secure. I declare that you are the salt and light of the earth. I declare that you are a branch of the true vine, a channel of Jesus' life. I declare that you have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. You are Jesus' personal witness. You are God's temple. You are a minister of reconciliation. You are God's co-worker. You are seated with Jesus in the heavenly realm. You are God's workmanship. You can approach God with freedom and confidence, and that you can do all things through Jesus, who gives you strength. In Jesus' name, amen.